Saluton from BA. This is the Rorschach Multilateral Update from the 1st of July 2025, a summary of what's going down in the world's major multilateral institutions. First up this week, on Monday the 23rd, Kaya Kallas, the top diplomat of the European Union, said she plans to confront Israel directly about possible violations of human rights in Gaza following a meeting with European foreign ministers. A recent EU report pointed to troubling action like blocking aid, hitting medical sites, and displacing people, all of which could go against the terms of its agreement with Israel, which came into force in the year 2000. Israel's government dismissed the report, calling it flawed. Kallas emphasized that getting more aid into Gaza is the immediate focus and warned she'll revisit the issue in July if there's no sign of progress on the ground. Still on conflicts, on Friday the 27th at a UN Security Council meeting, top officials warned that both sides in the Sudan conflict are pushing harder, now using drones and heavier weapons that are spreading violence into new areas. Civilian casualties have spiked and attacks on hospitals are becoming more common. According to recent UN and NGO briefing, over 15 million kids now need help and sexual violence is being used as a weapon by both groups. 3 years into the Sudan conflict, the two main forces are ignoring international laws and harming civilians in the process. Going back to Gaza for a second, on Monday the 23rd, a UNICEF representative said children in Gaza are suffering from severe thirst because water trucks are being blocked. Gaza's health ministry reported that more than 500 people have died and nearly 3,800 were injured since the beginning of May. Trucks carrying essential water supplies are unable to reach communities in need, and UNICEF is warning this could lead to even more preventable child deaths if access isn't restored soon. In development finance, on Friday the 27th, the Inter-American Development Bank announced it had signed off on a $2 billion US dollar credit line for Brazil to improve how it handles public money. This is part of a wider effort to modernize tax systems and manage spending more effectively at all levels of Brazil's government. The plan includes support for Brazil's shift to a new tax model and adds tools to track environmental and climate-related spending. The Economic Community of West African States announced on Saturday the 28th that on Sunday the 29th, it would send a team to Côte d'Ivoire to monitor the country's pre-election environment. While there, the team will examine multiple parties involved in the election process to ensure that it is free and fair, including government ministries, parties, and civil society organizations. This is a routine step that the organization takes to keep elections on track in the region. On Friday the 27th, the Organization of American States wrapped up its 55th General Assembly in St. John's, Antigua and Barbuda. Delegates focused on building inclusive, resilient economies and tackled pressing issues like Haiti's security turmoil and mental health care in the Americas. They passed one notable resolution urging coordinated international support for Haiti, including improving its security forces and steering towards free, fair elections. They also committed to boosting mental health investment through another resolution and set up a hemispheric task force to guide the effort. In health news, on Wednesday the 25th, the World Health Organization reported that global electricity access has just hit nearly 92%, a great jump since 2022 and the first decline in those without power in a decade. But over 600 million people still lack it. Clean cooking is also improving too. Most of the excluded are in rural and vulnerable areas, especially in sub-Saharan Africa, where energy poverty is stubbornly high. Access to electricity enables the operation of healthcare facilities, which can allow for refrigeration of vaccines and good storage of medical equipment. It supports clean water and sanitation systems, reducing the spread of disease. More on health. On Wednesday the 25th, the Pan American Health Organization announced it had launched a new regional platform to track birth defects across Latin America and the Caribbean. The tool pulls together real-time data from participating countries, helping health officials spot trends by location and age. The idea is to support better planning and improve maternal and child health services, with around 15 million births annually in the region and congenital conditions being a leading cause of early childhood deaths, the platform is expected to make a real impact. On to Western defense. On Sunday the 29th, Russia launched its biggest air attack on Ukraine since the war began, firing over 500 drones and missiles at targets across the country. Ukraine managed to shoot down many of them, but the assault still left at least 10 civilians dead and caused major damage. In response to the barrage, NATO jets, especially from Poland, were scrambled as safety measures due to the attack's proximity to alliance borders. From Monday the 23rd until Friday the 27th, the UK has joined senior officials from the Association of Southeast Asian Nations to coordinate responses of transnational crime for the first time ever. This move builds on existing ties, like the UK National Crime Agency backing a money laundering task force. Additionally, the UK and the association collaborate on security, trade, and green energy. On Thursday the 26th, Belgium and the International Organization for Migration, or IOM, renewed their long-running partnership with a fresh multi-year funding deal. The agreement ensures that the IOM continues to support vital migration services, helping vulnerable people move safely and build better futures. This backing allows the organization to sustain and scale projects like emergency aid, health services, and local integration efforts. Also on Thursday the 26th, the International Labour Organization kicked off a new initiative to upgrade green and digital skills in the Association of Southeast Asian Nations construction industry. Aimed at helping workers level up, the project will train around 2,100 people, like construction managers and site supervisors, across Indonesia, Malaysia, and Vietnam. The focus is on teaching energy-saving techniques and digital tools to manage projects safely and efficiently. In news about refugees, on Saturday the 28th, the UN High Commission for Refugees, or UNHCR, announced that over 1.2 million Afghans have returned from Iran and Pakistan so far in 2025, many under tough and involuntary conditions. Thursday the 26th saw over 36,000 people arriving at the border, the most in the month until that day. With humanitarian needs still sky high inside Afghanistan, the UNHCR is calling for more funding to support both emergency help and long-term reintegration for those coming back. For some context, a rise in Afghan returns from Iran is being driven by a combination of forced deportations, economic struggle, and regional instability. Earlier this year, Iran imposed a deadline for undocumented migrants to leave. Iran's worsening economic crisis, including high inflation and unemployment, has fueled anti-Afghan sentiment and stricter enforcement measures. Tensions in the region, including conflict involving Iran and Israel, have further contributed to the surge. On Friday the 29th, Politico reported that the head of the European Commission floated a plan to team up with countries like Canada and Japan to form a new rules-based global trade group, potentially redesigning or bypassing the ailing World Trade Organization. The idea is to show resilience amid global trade instability driven by the United States. As you may know, in recent months, the US has returned to aggressive tariff policies. At the same time, ongoing uncertainty over future US trade commitments, especially with allies, has shaken confidence in existing multilateral frameworks and sparked fears of a more fragmented global trade environment. For our final story this week, on Friday the 27th, the International Monetary Fund unlocked almost $500 million for Tanzania after completing two key reviews. The move reflects Tanzania's improving economy. Officials noted the country hit most of its reform targets, but warned that a shaky global economy, reduced aid, and population growth pose risks. And that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. Would you like to join the Rorschach team as the Ocean Update writer? Just send us an email at info@rorschach.com with Ocean Writer position in the subject and tell us why you would like to write this update. Click on the link in the show notes to check out the job description. See you next week.